Chapter 3. Lexi stayed at the community center, cleaning up long after everyone else had left. Thankfully, the police did not have the kitchen cordoned off, so she was able to wash the dishes and pack up the rest of the food. When she returned home, haggard and tired, it was almost midnight. She pushed open the door and was greeted by the clicking of tiny nails on hardwood and a flurry of white fur. Sprinkles, her half-shih tzu, half-poodle, flew into her arms and licked her face, causing Lexi to smile for the first time in hours. Jack peeked out from the kitchen.
Hungry?
And tired. Lexi put Sprinkles down and started across the living room of the craftsman-style bungalow. Nance had owned the house from the time she'd been married until she'd sold it to Lexi, and it held tons of happy childhood memories. Maybe someday she'd have a granddaughter to make similar happy memories within this house. But right now, she and Jack were quite happy making their own memories. Jack met her in the kitchen doorway, a tray filled with cutlery, bowls, a large salad, and most importantly, a bottle of wine. The smell of freshly baked rolls wafted out, and she lifted a gingham kitchen towel to reveal crusty golden rolls.
Go relax on the couch. Figured you'd be hungry. So I made a chef's salad and some buttermilk rolls.
Not for the first time, Lexi was reminded of one of the many reasons she'd married him. He was kind and thoughtful, as well as good-looking. They ate on the couch, Sprinkles attentively watching every bite they took. The salad, rolls, and wine had a calming effect, and by the time they were done, Lexi had almost forgotten about the day's events. She leaned back on the couch and put her head on Jack's sturdy shoulder. So, you seriously don't mind Nance and the ladies investigating?
Do you mean I don't mind you investigating?
Jack teased. They both knew that if Nance was going to investigate, Lexi wouldn't be far behind. He settled back into his seat, cuddling her close again as he talked.
Well, I figured you ladies are going to investigate whether I say it's okay or not. This way I can supervise and keep an eye on you. Besides, I was telling the truth earlier when I told Nance they might have access to information I won't on this case.
That's true. Sprinkles snuggled deeper between them, causing Lexi to scoot over a bit to make room. The ladies do know how to investigate.
And they aren't hampered by following police protocol. Plus, people will talk more freely around them. Those older folks at the retirement community are a tight-knit bunch. They've been through world wars and the worst sorts of interrogations. Keeping to themselves is a way of life for a lot of them. They won't tell me anything they don't want to, and they certainly don't trust me because I'm not one of them. Your grandmother and her friends are. They have friends there, and friends talk. Just try to keep them on the straight and narrow, eh?
Me? Lexi giggled into his warm chest. Thanks for giving me that job. Trying to rein in Nance and her friends is like trying to wrangle cats. Sprinkles frowned up at Lexi at the word cats, and Lexi scratched her behind the ear. But I'll do my best. Let's compare notes. I'm dying to know what you and John found out today. In the past, Lexi wouldn't have dared to ask. Jack had always seemed so unhappy when she poked into his cases. But after what he'd just explained, she could see he was okay with it this time. She'd long ago given up making assumptions about him. She'd learned her lesson a couple of months earlier when she jumped to the wrong conclusion that he'd been having an affair. It turned out he was just buying her a much-needed new car. Sweet, sweet man. So, honesty was her new best policy.
Okay, he said before sipping his wine, his expression contemplative. You go first. Did Mona and her friends come up with any good suspects after I left? Not that I know of, but I think they plan to hit it hard tomorrow. Oh, wait. Ida did mention that Sylvia Hensel was good friends with Mary Archer, and that she might be able to provide some insight on her marriage to Howard.
Great. I'll make a note to talk to her again tomorrow, then.
He drank some more wine.
Let me know if they find out anything else in the morning.
Will do. She shifted to look up at him. Okay, I shared what I have. Now tell me what you and John have found.
Not much, unfortunately, Jack sighed. The medical examiner said that the victim died from blunt force trauma to the head, most likely with a contest trophy. We checked it for prints at the scene, but didn't find any. Too bad Mona and her friends didn't go snooping in that pie room today, too.
Yeah, Nance and her friends do see everything, don't they? That got Lexi thinking about what she'd seen earlier in the dining room, with Helen near the hallway. The pie room was at the end of the hallway, but she must have told Jack she was there when he'd questioned her earlier, right? Or should she mention it? No. There was no sense getting poor Helen into trouble if she hadn't said anything to Jack, especially because Lexi knew Helen couldn't have had anything to do with Mary's murder. She just must not have seen anything pertinent. It was strange, though, because Jack had just said it was too bad none of them went snooping down there. Of course, just because Helen was in the hallway didn't mean she'd gone to the pie room. She probably had a perfectly logical explanation for being in the corridor that led to both the pie room and the kitchens. Lexi shook off her thoughts and moved on to Ida and her concern over the removal of all those pies. Laughing, Lexi said, "Ida was sure upset about all those pies being confiscated earlier."
"Doesn't surprise me," Jack grinned. "For such a little thing, she can really put away the food, huh?"
"Yep." Ida couldn't have been more than 5 feet tall and weighed less than 100 pounds. But Lexi had seen her pack away a dozen cupcakes from her shop in a single sitting. Jack hugged Lexi tighter and kissed the top of her head, then tucked it beneath his chin. Sprinkles climbed out from between them and curled into a ball in Lexi's lap.
"Well, you can tell Ida that we had to take them because I noticed that some of the pies had been messed with. I'm sure that must have happened during the murder. You didn't notice any of them being messed with while they were cooling, did you?"
"Messed with?" Lexi leaned back so she could look him in the eyes, more concerned about the pies being messed with than the fact that Jack actually knew the pies were cooling. She hadn't realized he'd paid that much attention to her baking. "How?"
"Like someone had dug around in the middle of them. Searching for something in there, perhaps? And on others, big hunks of the crusts were missing."
He exhaled.
"I'm sorry, honey. I know you worked really hard on them. But my guess is that maybe the killer dropped something into the pie when he hit Mary on the head. Then the killer rummaged around, trying to retrieve whatever it was. I know, it's a long shot, but so far, it's the only clue we have. So I'm going with it."